You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Good morning, St. Luke Church. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And we continue to celebrate our risen Christ by celebrating our young pastors here at St. Luke. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Catherine Riley. If you don't know Catherine, she's one of our seminarians, and she is called to be a congregational pastor. And so let's lean in today as our video asks us and listen to the voice of Pastor Catherine.
Yeah, I just want to say on behalf of so many of the seminary students in this room that this church has adopted, thank y'all so much for taking care of us and being our church family while we're here. So thank y'all so much. Will you please pray with me? Father, we thank you for church family. Father, we thank you for all of the ways that you bring us together and you care for us. God, I am praying that you would pour out your spirit over us today, that you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, hearts to receive all that you have for us today. We love you, we trust you, and we give this time to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever felt that feeling when you say to someone, I love you, but you don't know how they're going to respond? Or have you ever been guilty of asking someone for the third time, are you sure you're not mad at me? Or are you sure my outfit looks okay? Have you ever had that feeling where you just really wanted someone to just grab you by the shoulders and tell you that everything is going to be all right? We all know what it's like to long for assurance. It seems like it's almost hardwired into us, but that longing actually just points to the longing from assurance that we can only get from God. This is why we ask those questions, not just how can I be saved, but how can I know I'm saved? Can I in this life? That's the question that we're going to be asking today, that we're going to be looking at in our scripture today in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. And we are switching mics. This is great timing. All right, we are in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. Will you read with me if you have a Bible? It'll also be up there on the screen because, again, the tech team are the MVPs. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So, are you led by the Spirit, or are you living your life in fear? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, wrestled with this himself very early on in his ministry. John was a dedicated, zealous, hardworking pastor. He spent hours a day praying and reading scripture. And he was so dedicated and so zealous that he agreed to go on a mission to move halfway across the world from England to Georgia so that he could spread the gospel with the Native Americans. And while he was on his voyage to the Americas, suddenly his ship got hit by this huge storm. The waves were crashing and John was crashing out. Pastor John began to panic. And then he was panicking about the fact that he was even panicking. Have y'all ever done that? I have. But in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this same ship, in the middle of this same storm, to make things worse, there was another group of Christians. And they had the audacity to remain calm, praise God, sing hymns like a bunch of crazy people. I mean, who does that, right? John saw the steady peace and trust of these Christians, and he wanted what they had. So he met with one of their pastors who asked him, have you the witness within yourself? Does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? In his journal, John wrote that he was surprised and knew not what to answer. So the pastor asked him, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" John paused and said, "I know he's the Savior of the world." The pastor said, "True, but do you know he has saved you? Do you know he has saved you?" This question began a multiple years long journey for John, trying to find what he called that faith no one can have without knowing he has it. For years of his life, John had seen faith as something that you believe and maybe how well you behave. But as he began to search through scripture and church history, John became convinced that the faith God wants to give is deeper than just beliefs and behavior. It's the faith of belonging, the faith of assurance, a sure and solid sense, a solid confidence that because of what Christ has done, we are reconciled to the favor of God, forgiven, adopted as his beloved child. It's the faith that means that when you're in the middle of a storm, you can have that peace because you know you are safe in the Lord. So I ask you the same question that changed the course of John Wesley's life. Do you know that Jesus has saved you specifically? When the storms of life try to shake you, where do you find your assurance? The reality is, we all try to find our assurance from somewhere. And if we don't get our assurance from God, we will look for it in other places. We might try to get it in our job or our school performance, in our perfect families, right? They're sitting right next to you. In our relationships, our looks, our status, how right or passionate we are about our beliefs, how good of a person we think we are, how impressive of a preacher we think we can sound like. When we don't find our assurance from these things, because we never actually do, we'll think things like, if I can just achieve this thing, or if I can just get this status, or find this relationship, or convince this person, then I'll finally feel all right. Then I'll finally have that peace. But the problem is, this strategy never works. At least not for long. We climb to the top of the ladder, only to find out that at the top, there's just another ladder. We get ourselves into relationships or surround ourselves with people whose love is imperfect, surprise, and who can never fully fill the holes in our hearts. So instead of peace, we'll turn to other things to cope with the pain. Instead of peace, we settle for comfort. Instead of assurance, we settle for just making ourselves feel numb. Eventually, we might feel convicted, and we realize that nothing that we're doing is working, so we decide to try Christ. Or maybe some version of what we think Christianity is supposed to look like. Maybe that's why you're here this morning. Maybe you've heard sermons about grace and love and how much God loves you, but if you're honest, you've never really believed it for yourself. Deep down, it's one thing to believe God forgives people, but it's another thing to believe that God has forgiven you right now. So maybe you live more like a servant for God, as the passage says, than a son or daughter of a heavenly Father. You serve and obey God not because you trust that he loves you, but because you're terrified that he doesn't, or that he'll change his mind if you don't do enough to keep earning it. You work hard for God, and that matters. He sees that. But you do not trust his love. So you come to church. You pray, and you read your Bible, because you've heard it's the thing that you're supposed to do, and you want to go to heaven when you die. And you try really hard to avoid sins and be a good person, whatever that looks like. But despite your best efforts, the harder you try and the harder you work, it seems like you just keep on falling back into those same harmful habits and hang-ups over and over again. And you just feel defeated. And so you find yourself wondering, is God mad at me? Am I really saved? Can I really trust him? Both our shallow pride and our deepest insecurities come from missing this one thing. Peace from the love of the Father. Like the prodigal son, you have come home begging to be allowed to work as his servant. But the Father already has enough employees. He wants to welcome you home as his child. Again, continuing in verse 15, Paul says, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So here's your little theology lesson for today. This verse describes what is sometimes called the witness of the Spirit and the witness of our own spirit. And this is where true Christian assurance comes from. This means that we don't have to settle for uncertainty about our salvation or our status before God. Every good parent wants their child to know that they love them, not just in their heads, not just a cognitive belief, but deep down into their hearts, and then to see them live in that love. This week, I asked a 13-year-old, "How do you know your parents love you?" And she said, "Because they tell me." God the Father wants to tell you that he loves you too. He wants you to actually hear that from him, not just from others who are telling you that, so that God the Father will give his children that gift too. The Spirit of God himself tells us, he testifies to it, Scripture says. And then that witness of our own spirits, that's the way that God works in our own lives, transforming us by the power of his Spirit. When we know we belong to God, that reality will transform our hearts and our lives. And because our hearts and our lives are transformed, that confirms the reality that we belong to God. The witness of God's Spirit grows the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit grows the confidence in that witness that we've already received. Assurance means that we can actually sense the forgiveness of God and see the love, the joy, the peace that flows from us because of him. After years of searching for that peace and longing for it, Wesley became convinced that the only way he was going to get it was a miracle of God. It couldn't be something that he worked for. It had to be given to him by the grace of God. So he gave up trying to earn it himself. And one day, John Wesley reluctantly went to this gathering of some Christians who were talking about the book of Romans. And in that meeting, Wesley sensed the presence of God in a way he never had before. He said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." After this, Wesley wasn't just like immune to every doubt and fear. He still struggled, but his life did change dramatically. He stopped trying to find assurance in what he could do for Christ because he had found it in what Christ had already done for him. Amen? He spent the rest of his life preaching what he called salvation by faith. He called it the foundational doctrine of Methodism, the substance of all we preach. This assurance became the heart of the Methodist movement, which God has used to bring millions to faith in Christ. When the early Methodist preachers faced death, persecution, poverty, it was this supernatural gift of assurance that empowered them to continue the spread of the gospel. Church, this gift of faith, the faith of the martyrs, is the same faith available to you and to me and to every child of God. Praise be to God. because, as Wesley said, we cannot have childlike confidence in God until we know we are a child of God. But when we receive that confidence, everything changes. We love because He first loved us. We evangelize not just because God has commanded it, but because we've actually experienced that good news for ourselves, so we can't help but share it. We can step boldly in faith. We can take risks because we know that our Father will catch us when we fall. We can have deep joy, even in the midst of our deepest grief. We can have that peace that passes all understanding because we know that we know that we know that we know that we belong to Jesus. We're beloved by the Father because the Spirit has testified to it. I'm passionate about this because years ago when I was 13, about the same age as some of y'all in this room, actually 12, I did not really have that sense of God's peace and love. I didn't know how to trust it in my own life. Part of that was that already at that age, I had been struggling with some pretty deep depression and suicidal thoughts the way that way too many young people unfortunately do. But it was actually this desperation that God used to change my life. My family went to a Catholic church a couple of times a year, but I had started listening to podcast sermon recordings. I was a really weird 12-year-old. So I asked my mom one day if she could start taking me to the youth group. And on like the first or second night there, we had this worship service. And if there was a sermon, honestly, I don't remember it, so I'll forgive you if you don't remember this one. All I remember is wanting to kneel on that hard tile floor. And I remember the song How He Loves being played in the background by some dude with a guitar. And I remember having that thought, a little like John Wesley, that I realized for the first time that Jesus had died for me, for my sins. He did that for me. And most clearly, I just remember this feeling of God's love that was just so clear and so strong that I might as well have been in heaven with Jesus Christ Himself. After that moment, I mean, I walked around for months just feeling like God was always giving me a hug, which I needed. And it didn't, you know, cure my depression just instantly in that moment. That was something that was going to take time and professional help and the love of a church community. But God did change my life that day. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in a way that I have never been able to get over since. It's the reason I'm standing here today. There were times that I would fall back into those doubts and fears, but they didn't have the same hold over me that they used to have. I wasn't just, you know, starting back from zero. There was a real shift in my life. Anytime I began to struggle with those same harmful thoughts before that I had before, Jesus, He was my best friend, my greatest hope, my reason for living. Time after time, God has used moments like this. God has reassured me of His love in both those big supernatural moments and in the small everyday mercies. He's drawn my heart closer to the Father's, deepened my trust in Him. If you've never had that sense of God's love for you as His child, if it's only ever been something that you believe in your head because people tell you to, I can't tell you for sure why. I'm not God. Surprise. Thanks be to God. He knows a lot more than I do. But you can ask the Father. And I do believe that He helps us. He says that when we ask for wisdom, He provides it. God is more patient than we are. He's more gentle than we expect Him to be. And hear this, His timing is always perfect. There are many reasons why we might struggle to receive that assurance. Like we might need healing. We might need healing from things like mental disorders or from old wounds that make it difficult and scary to trust a loving Father. We might need a really honest conversation with God and to a hard look at our lives and to confront and confess the things that we have been holding back from God or trying to hide from by pretending they're not there. You might just need to be reminded this morning that no matter how long you've lived your life in fear, peace is actually possible. The invitation is simple. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus said, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you find yourself today longing for a deeper assurance, my St. Luke church family, do not settle for less than that great gift of God. Ask your Father in heaven, and he will give you the kind of faith that cannot come from your own willpower, but his power and presence at work in your life instead. That, my friends, is grace. We will not find faith by figuring everything out, but by fixing our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. And we don't even have to look that hard to find Jesus, because he has told us where he will always meet us. In prayer, in scripture, in worship, in the fellowship of believers, in the Lord's Supper, and these means of grace where we know that when we come to be with God, he will always be there. And his presence and power, his grace, always there to meet us and fill us again, whether we feel it in that moment or not. I have to tell you about one more Wesley. John Wesley's mother, Susanna, like John, was also a hardworking and dedicated woman. But for the first 70 years of her life, she never had that sense of assurance. She actually wasn't even sure that it was a thing that you could have. She thought it was maybe something a few special people could have if they had that blessing. She did not expect to receive it. So she said, I never did ask for it myself. Until one day, Susanna was receiving communion, as she always did, many times before, and she heard those same familiar words. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. She said about that moment, the words struck through my heart, and I knew God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven me all my sins. This was such a significant moment in Susanna's life that they had it inscribed on her gravestone in a poem describing how for the first 70 years of her life, she had that faith of a servant, a faith full of grief and fears. But the poem says, the Father then revealed his Son, him in the broken bread made known. She knew and felt her sins forgiven and found the earnest of her heaven. Do you know and feel your sins forgiven? Or as Wesley was asked, have you the witness? Do you want it? As we receive communion today, as we always do, you will be invited to remember the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. And when we receive this meal together, it means that we are receiving the presence and power of God in our lives, that God is really present with you and pouring out his grace over you even in that moment. So if you are longing for that assurance or a deeper measure of it, then today when you come to the table, come hungry and ready to receive from the Father. Cry out to him. And in his timing, his Spirit will answer yours. So let's go to our God in prayer. Abba, Father, you are good and holy and kind and compassionate and gentle and patient. Father, we confess that we have not always trusted you. We have rebelled against your love. We have not expected to actually receive it. We've turned it into an intellectual exercise, and we've tried to find love in other places. We have not actually trusted that you are the kind of father, the kind of parent who wants to tell us, I love you. And we confess that we need you to. We need you to speak to us. We need you to give that supernatural peace that we do not know how to give ourselves, that we cannot give ourselves. So, Father, I am asking that you would give us that gift of trust this morning. That you would pour your spirit out over this room, even in this moment. That for those who need healing, God, that you would pour out your healing. For those who have not known how to trust a loving Father, God, that you would heal that and that you would reveal to them who you are. For those who have anxiously just tried to make you love them, or have tried to fix that feeling through perfectionism or performance, God, would you bring healing? Would you bring conviction and comfort? Where there are lies, would you speak your truth? God, would you give us the witness of your Spirit? Would you empower us to actually cry out, Abba, Father? Help us to see you. Help us to hear you. Help us to hear you. Help us to receive you. And help us to go and share that love with others too. Father, we love you. We trust you. And we give all things to you. In your name we pray. Amen.